We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
I'm excited because we're continuing this series that we've been in. We're now part three in what we're calling the five solas. And you say, what's solas? It's actually Latin for alone or only. These five alone or the five alones. It's interesting, but it's true. So one of the things that we've been talking about is how these five things, this is Reformed theology. This is, I like people having a grid for their faith. How many people like to actually have a foundation for what you believe? Because I believe if you don't know what you believe, it'll never stand against the world's opinion of what you believe. If you don't understand what you believe, not because you have to be defensive in the way that you defend your faith, but that you have an understanding of why you believe. And so that's what we're going through here. We're currently talking about these five pillars or these keys of Reformed theology. And it's crucial to have a grid for your faith. If you're taking notes, again, I have to understand my faith before my faith is ready to stand against the world's opinions of it. So when I think about faith, when I think about what I believe, I start to just ask myself questions. What do I believe? Why do I believe it? With what assurance do I believe? What gives me confidence in that which I believe? How many have ever believed something that was wrong? I remember in grade school, really standing. I remember the feeling of uh-oh, but I don't even remember what it was over. I just remember taking a hard stance on something like I knew it. And this other person, I had been right so many other times in this little elementary school relationship here. I took a hard stand and then found out that I was wrong, but found out right there in the middle when you're taking a hard stand on the wrong side. And I may have been young, but I knew what embarrassment felt like. And so for me, it was like, I want to know because I want to know. I don't want to just believe and have no foundation for my belief. I want to make sure what I believe in so that I have the source in which to believe it, right? And so as we're going through this, this is what the giants of the faith clarified about the church of that time. They were practicing at that time non-scriptural based doctrine. Again, we had talked about the indulgences that the church was selling back in that day, which would pardon certain sins. So if you were affluent, if you had wealth, if you had position, you could get these indulgences, which would allow you to live in sin, but be cleared from sin from God because some priest said it was okay or some person said it was okay. And this drove Martin Luther and eventually to do the 95 thesis on the door of the church. And it was starting this wave of, wait a minute, the scripture is our guide, not what somebody says they heard from God. Because how many know a lot of people can hear things and think it's God? A lot of people can even believe and mean well thinking it's God, but God would never contradict himself. So if it's not in the word, if what you believe God's saying contradicts the word, you're not hearing from God. There's got to be a foundation to our faith. And so, you know, it would be easy to try and grow crowds of people to say what people wanted to hear. But if we're trying to build disciples from the inside out, then we've got to give them a firm foundation to be able to stand on. And so that's what these the five alones are. Sola scriptura, scripture alone, right? Sola gratia, grace alone. Sola fide, faith alone. Solus Christus, Christ alone. And sola Deo gloria, glory of God alone. So again, I've been saying this every week and I've butchered it because I never took Latin, okay? But listen. It doesn't matter the order of these things. You have to have all five. And according to scripture alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. It was this clarification, this reorientation of getting the church to go back to Jesus and go back to what the early church was doing. And so last couple weeks, again, we talked about sola scriptura, according to Holy Scripture alone, right? The only foundation for our faith. That's what the scripture is. And then we talked about solus Christus in Christ alone, right? Because he's the only mediator. God sent Jesus to save those that would believe in him. God sent who? Who?
Jesus.
Say it like you mean it. Who?
Jesus.
Okay, so if God sent Jesus, then he didn't send anyone else. Because to have sent anyone else means that Jesus wasn't good enough or that his value wasn't enough. So it's either Jesus, and it's Jesus, or it's not Jesus, and then everything God said is not true. But it can't be Jesus and. Do you get that? People would say, well, as long as you mean well. And I go, well, Jesus' death was worth more than you meaning well. The blood that ran down that cross that was sinless for the sake of your sin meant something, and it was more than meaning well. And so I'm preaching on last week's stuff. I got to get on this week's stuff, okay? Will you just let me preach this week's stuff? Whew, now that we've covered sola scriptura, according to Holy Scripture alone, the only foundation, and solus Christus, Christ alone, the only mediator, I will try to unpack both. Drum roll, please. There's no drummer. By grace alone, through faith alone. I'm going to unpack both of these this morning. Because I believe they go hand in hand, and I think it's hard to separate the two. And so these two pillars of faith, I'm going to try and keep them together in this series. I'm not going to try, I'm going to do it. We'll just see how fast we can do it. How about that? Without God offering us grace, there would be no way to be saved. But without having faith in Jesus, who became our atonement, we can't access the grace God offers. Do you understand that? And I know you're like, well, I'm trying to. What did you just say? Well, we'll read it together again. Without God offering us grace, so the source of the opportunity of salvation came from God's grace first, right? The fact that God even willed it, there's got to be a source, right? Because if you believe in Jesus but don't believe Jesus has a father, then even Jesus isn't going to do it. Someone goes, wait a minute, what does that mean? God willed Jesus to come do what he did. And you have to understand how grace and faith go hand in hand. I thank Jesus every day for his sacrifice, but I also thank God for gracing it to happen, for allowing me to receive Jesus, for ascending Jesus. Yeah? Let's go back. So without God offering us grace, there would be no way to be saved. But without having faith in Jesus, who became our atonement, right? We can't access the grace God offers. Let me read you Ephesians 2:8. It says this, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." It started with grace, through faith, and it went back to the gift that was from God, right? We say, we lift up no other name but Jesus. Why do we lift up no other name but Jesus? He's our only access point to God the Father. When we say in the name of Jesus, God goes, mm-hmm. You can say, because I want it, and he doesn't hear anything. It doesn't matter what you want. It's about what God has already promised us. So when I say in Jesus' name, I'm healed by the stripes on your back, I'm healed. I'm saying not because I really, really want it, but because Jesus said, by my stripes. By his stripes, I'm healed. So it doesn't mean that I'm not going through something right now. It just means I don't have to stay going through it. Right? And so we've got to have source. And so if you're taking notes today, number one, grace alone, our only method. Scripture is our only foundation. Jesus is our only mediator, but grace is our only method. Ephesians 2:4-7 says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression. It's by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." Grace accessed through faith in Jesus. Grace and faith, they go hand in hand. I can't separate them, so we're preaching them together. Okay. I'm going to letters. So 1A. By God's grace, I am saved. Again, bringing back up Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves." What does that mean, this is not from yourselves? It means it's not because you all of a sudden became holy enough in your own doing. It's not because you made yourself right, so now he sees you as righteous. It's because of God's grace we've been saved. And now somebody would say, well, nowadays, you got to be careful how you teach grace because everyone will just do whatever they want and claim it under grace. Look, When I stand before God, I understand that I'm going to be standing at the bema seat. I'm going to be standing at a judgment seat, and I don't want to abuse the grace he gave us. But let's also not devalue grace as though it didn't do it. Can I just tell you the amount of people that are giving Kanye West slack? The amount of people that are talking about whether Justin Bieber's really saved? Are you really saved? I don't know. I didn't put on my Pharisee hat this morning to determine who was saved. Because last I checked, it's by God's grace alone. And so if I'm not the grace dealer, then how can I determine where his grace goes? How about we just love people? I love this thing. That, you know, I want to get a t-shirt. It says, that just simply says, love everyone. I'll sort them out later. God. You know what? How many parents have been praying for a prodigal son to come home? How many churches have been believing for prodigals to come home? Then we see someone like Kanye claim to come home. We go, I don't believe that for 1 minute. Heathen. Pharisee. Man, it's by his grace. And because it's by his grace, I'm just going to believe. You know, somebody messaged me the other day because I posted something about it. Because I'm just sick of Christians being judgmental. That's all I'm sick of, because that's the number one repellent. That's like salvation DEET. It keeps people away from salvation based on your judgments. People are like, if that's what Christian looks like, if that's what Christian smells like, I don't want that. But here's the thing. Somebody said, well, I just really, really hope that the gospel settles in him and that the seeds don't get plucked. And I replied, I said, amen to that. But that's the same prayer I pray for everyone that walks into the church. Why are we spotlighting him? Let's just make sure that we understand it's by God's grace that we're saved, not by our works. Because if it's not by God's grace, then we all have just gone back in ages and are trying to live under the law. Okay. I can only be saved because God's grace willed it. It was God's gift to humankind that we would send his son whom we could place our faith and hope in. I got a lot, so I got to keep going. Ready for B? Jesus can do nothing apart from God's will. You're like, wait a minute. No, this is scriptural. Let's look at what John 5 says. Jesus says, by myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Who sent him? God the Father. For the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me. Jesus, God willed Jesus, wanted Jesus, because of God's grace, sent Jesus, and Jesus did what God the Father wanted from beginning to end. He fulfilled the work. What did he fulfill? He created the portal. You guys like portals? Look, he created the access points in which we can be saved. Jesus, the only one that came to die for you and me. This does not demean or make low or devalue. Jesus is the only door, but it's only because God graced it, God willed it, God chose it. Are you getting this? I will never stop lifting up the name of Jesus by which we have access to the Father. But I will remember it was the Father who made a way for me. He sent Jesus so that Jesus could finish the work, but he didn't do anything apart from God. Yes? Just trying to give you a foundation. See, works alone don't work. We covered this a little bit last week, but let's look at Ephesians 2. I'm jumping through the same bit of scripture here, just continuing to jump down a little bit. 9 and 10 says, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So it's not by our works, it's the fact that God created us to do good works. Apart from God, nothing is good. Remember the scripture says, you know, you're good. Well, and then Jesus says, God's good. Father's good. We've got to understand that we are created to do good things because we are created in his image and his likeness. And when we're graced by him, when we're compelled by Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to do great things. But our works aren't what qualify us. Jesus finished the work needed to access God's grace. And so in Christ Jesus, we become a new creation, graced to do good works, not working to receive grace. We work from grace, not for grace. Did you hear that? That's a big difference. We work from grace. The fact that I can do anything good, the fact that I can change and help change anyone's life, the fact that I can be God's hands and feet, the fact that I can do any of this, it's because I start in a place of grace, not that I'm racing towards grace. When we understand that we can rest in God's grace and that we're not going to be perfect, but man, if we allow God to use our hands, we can see amazing things happen on this earth. When you start from grace, God does something. We work from grace, not for grace. Romans 3:24 and says, "And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." Our justification and salvation are both solely by the sovereign grace of God and not dependent on any action or condition man provides. This doesn't mean to live like hell. It just means the reason. Why am I spending so much time on this? I'm not trying to give you access to live like you want. I'm trying to help you understand one of the number one things the enemy likes to use against us is guilt for that which disqualifies us. But what qualified us in the first place? Grace. So either I can fall down, stay down, feel ashamed because of guilt and let the enemy win, or I can understand, okay, I'm in a place I don't want to stay, but I know someone who can help me out. I know someone that can move me forward, so I'm going to choose to understand that it was all grace anyway. Grace costs something. Cost the blood of Jesus, but I'm not going to abuse it. But because it was grace in the first place, I can get back up, not feel totally guilty, not feel ashamed in such a way that it drives me away from God, but instead feel like, you know what, God, I'm far from perfect. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. I'm thankful for your grace. Let's try again. We can only stand before God by his grace as he mercifully attributes to us the righteousness of Jesus Christ and attributes to him the consequences of our sins. See, Jesus's life of perfect righteousness is counted as ours, and our records of sin and failure were counted to Jesus when he died on the cross. Hope you got that. So before we jump into the next point, again, we rest in grace, not race for grace. Yes, we're on a race. Yes, we're running to win the race. Yes, the Bible talks about the race, but the race isn't to receive grace. We're already in grace when we're in Jesus. God already gave us grace. I don't know why people, the more time, if they're not careful, the more time they spend in church, the more they become like what it used to be. Because now they have worked on trying to get their stuff in order. The bar raises on what their expectations are for others, and they forget where they came from and how God was with them there too. Let this place never be a place that someone can't walk in and feel comfortable until they qualify to your standards. Because the reality is you don't even qualify to your standards. Number two, faith alone, our only means. Grace is the method. Faith is the means. God predetermined salvation would come through faith in his son, Christ alone. Christ alone. If Christ is the only one, if Christ is the only one that died on the cross for our sins, if his sinless blood is the only thing that purifies our sins, if in him we're made a new creation, if in him we become righteous, not because we're right, because he made us righteous, if this is the case, then you need to never be ashamed of who Jesus is. You need to understand that it's only through the faith in Jesus that we have the ability. Why? Because he's our access. He's the only means. Romans 5, 1-2 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Not we have peace through God because now we mean well. Now we're trying harder. No, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Are you saying this? And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Look, by grace, through faith. Through faith, by grace. Yes? Love and man. They go hand in hand, okay? Don't get me started. Last week, we covered all the scriptural promises God's word has given us and why Christ is the only one in whom we can believe in. But all that Christ did for us does not mean we are covered unless we are found in him through faith. Because you can answer questions about Jesus does not mean you're following him. Because you've read your Bible more than somebody else doesn't mean you're more worthy than they are. It's about having faith in Christ. Now, if I have faith in Christ, I want to get in the Word. I want to get the Word in me. I want to be able to understand all the promises. I want to understand who he is because I'm trying to be like him. Yeah? A. 2A. Faith grants access. Again, that same scripture in Romans 5:1. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Placing our faith in Jesus grants access to God's grace. Hand in hand. It's by grace alone, access by faith in the Son alone. You're like, you just said that. I know. If I say it backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards, we'll get it. I've been told that people don't actually know what you're saying until they're rolling their eyes finishing your sentences. Here he goes again. Hopefully you don't do that about grace and faith. B, righteousness is given through faith. Romans 3 says this, this righteousness is given through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What does that mean? If you go back into the days, go back into the Bible days and you read the word, God sent Jesus first for the Jews, his chosen people, right? It's okay. He had a way, he made a way, he had a plan for the Gentiles like me, who's not Jewish, who's a Gentile. Well, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile, right? But what that scripture tells me is back in the day, Jews, they were under the Torah, right? Well, still are. But when you're looking in the Bible and you're reading about it, and based on the law and the Torah, there are things like circumcision that grant you these things. And there's all of these, do this and you'll have that, do this and you'll have that. Let's go back to that scripture one more time. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, right? And so when it says there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, because Jews believe there was a difference, right? Because they go, well, wait a minute, if we're God's chosen people, there's a difference. And God goes, yeah, but you rejected me, so I opened it up to everyone. So our righteousness is actually through faith in Christ, not what the law told us. We could be righteous if we did. See, we could never be righteous because we could never do. That's why Jesus had to come and do what we couldn't do. And that's why faith in him gives us access to what we couldn't do. And God attributes that to us because he attributed our sin to Jesus. It's a beautiful exchange. Yes? C, redemption is received by faith. Romans 3 says this, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Where was the redemption? Because of Christ Jesus. So if we believe in Christ Jesus, there's redemption, right? God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. You ready for the next one? I'm trying to do a lot today. D is justification comes by faith. Romans, again, in chapter 3 says, he did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So what am I trying to say? Why am I going through all these letters? Why am I giving you all these words? Because I understand that when I say I have faith in Jesus, It's not just having the faith that Jesus died on the cross. It's what the faith grants me. Because God willed it, because God's grace was offered to those that would accept his love offering and sacrifice, that was his son, when we accept what Jesus did, now, because I have faith, not because I am right, but I'm made righteous. Not because I should have justification, but I'm justified because he says so. Not because I should have redemption, but because I have faith in Jesus, I do get redemption. I have been redeemed. Okay. We gain access to God's grace by faith in Jesus alone. E, what else comes with faith? Freedom is found in faith. Some people are like, man, if I could just break this habit, if I could just get off this horrible roller coaster, this merry-go-round, I'm in the worst seat in the merry-go-round and it just keeps going. If I could just break free of this bondage, if I could break free, well, this is the thing. In Jesus, like not when I kind of heard about Jesus, but when I have accepted Jesus and I start to take one step at a time in relationship with him, freedom, it's found through the faith. But if you want freedom over something, first of all, there are certain things that you need to do. Clearly, you don't have the willpower to do it on your own. That's why you're in it. But with Jesus, there can be freedom. Let's look at what the next scripture says. It says, but when faith comes, the law is no longer in force. Since we have already entered into life, what does that mean? It means we're no longer under the law. We have found a freedom that has come in Christ Jesus. And that freedom, whew, how good it feels. There's a freedom that comes with saying yes to Jesus. I'll keep going. What also comes with faith? We become family by faith. You know, a lot of people, we talk about how church should have community feel, how church should feel like a family, and that's not just to like mean good, that's not just to sound good, that's not just to make you feel, it's like, no, literally, the Bible says that when we accept Christ, we become adopted. We become children of God. A child of God. Someone says, man, my family life is broken. I haven't seen a healthy family and it's hurting me and there's these struggles that I go through because of it. Well, God goes, look, I knew that you guys were living in a fallen world, so I created the church in which you could have a family. So although you may not have had the father in your life that you needed, there's going to be a man of God that can be that in your world. There's going to be that person that can step up. There can be a mentor. There can be somebody in my local house that will help fill the role, not because of who they are, but because of who I am in them. And they're going to step up. That's what church is. It becomes family. I'm so thankful that my wife and I have a great marriage. I'm thankful that we have decided to build it on the foundation of the word and that we've gotten rid of the D word. It doesn't, you know, exist in our vocabulary. But one thing's for sure, if I ever in my mind imagined that we weren't together and she was raising our children, I would pray and hope she could find a good church, right? Because I know what the church can do. This is not like some sort of weird thing. I'm giving an example. I should have used some other random weird situation. You try and stand up here and talk for 35 minutes and not mess something up. Okay? We're good. I'm just saying the idea of a single mother raising children, God help them find a good family. The idea of a father who loses their wife and has to raise the children on their own, God help them find a good church family. We need each other. God knows we need each other. He created the church. Okay, we'll get the scripture before I screw anything up. More. Galatians says this, you have all become true children of God by the faith of Jesus, the anointed one. This is interesting. We're going to go back to that for a minute. It was faith that immersed you into Jesus. What is he saying? Faith is what had you baptized. That's why you went and got baptized. It was faith, right? And now you're covered and clothed with his anointing. Will you look at that underlined thing right there? What is that? Okay, you have all become true children. It's a bug. It's okay. You have all become true children. Squirrel, no, this time it's a bug. Look at, you have all become true children of God. Look at, by the faith in or of? By the faith of Jesus, the anointed one. What does this mean? It is the faith of Jesus, or what he believes about you, that makes you his very own. It's not even what you believe. If you believe in him, it's what he believes about you. That changes everything. There's like four people that were like, oh, that was good. I like that. I'm preaching better than you're listening. It's what Jesus thinks about me. It's not what I've done. It's the fact that I believe in him and then he believes something different about me. I'm part of his family because of how he has his faith. Oh, man. You've never seen that scripture like that before. Oh, man. Let's go to H. A real relationship with God through faith. When we're talking faith, it's not just because it gives us access. It's what the access gives us. Did you get that? I'm not sure I got that, but it came out. But it's that. Access. Jesus is our gateway. He is the narrow gate. He is the only door on the ark. He is the one that was prophesied before. He is the one that came and fulfilled prophecy. He is the one that did what we couldn't do. And it's because we access him, we get all that he gives us. Okay. Ephesians, as the team comes back, Ephesians says this, 3:11 says, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Think of someone you're very close with. You have the ability to approach them. You know you have the freedom to do so. Hopefully you have, you know, in this world, if we live the life that God has helped us live or wants us to live, and we actually access the power through the Holy Spirit to do it, I hope that my children will be like my parents were to me, where I know that I have the freedom and I have confidence to go in and talk to them about whatever the situation is. That's through a real relationship. But in the same way, I had freedom and I had a boldness that could go and talk to them because I knew who I was to them. We get that to God. Because of what Jesus did for us, because I understand the mercy seat, because I understand the fact that it's his blood that covered my sins and my sin was covering him when he went to that cross, it gives me a boldness, it gives me a confidence to approach God because I have a relationship. I'm not saying, God, if you hear me, I'm saying, God, I know you're listening. God, if you will, I'm not saying that. God, I know your will, and so I pray. I pray according to your will, through faith, in Jesus' name, that this would come to pass, that this would be accomplished, because I have a confidence and a boldness in who you are to me and how you see me. Do you get that? It's through a real relationship with Jesus. As you bow your heads and close your eyes, as I close this service, I want you to really consider, where do I stand with Jesus? See, I understand that, I now understand God sent Jesus by grace so that I could have a relationship with him. And I understand now that when Jesus went to the cross, what he carried and what he bore on his back on that cross was everything I've ever done wrong. Was every sin I've ever committed, was every sin I haven't committed yet, but it was all once and for all paid for by a sinless blood. And if I say yes to Jesus, not just yes, I know about Jesus, but Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me, give me a new start and help me. If I will say yes to Jesus through faith in him, I'm now made righteous. Through faith in him, I've become redeemed. Through faith in him, I now begin a real relationship with God.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.